Everybody. Welcome to the Simple Action Groups of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Ryan, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Ryan.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Action Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees from AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to this discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 12, which states, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And tonight, we have Sammy and Neve, all the way down from Richmond, joining us tonight. All right, I'm going to begin reading on page 96, and then the panel will share for a few minutes on each reading. Suppose now you are making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume and says he is prepared to go with the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Let him know you are available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story, but do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else.
That's it. Dive Hi, everybody. In. I'm Sammy Griffin. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Sammy.
I have a sobriety date, September 1st, 1989. And I have a sponsor who I talk to almost every day. And I've had the same sponsor for almost 30 years. And I've kept her sober for almost 30 years. And ain't that the truth? And then I also have a God in my life who is keeping me in this seat today. I want to thank you for having me here tonight. It's really always an honor to come down to Norfolk and to do this. On the chapter that we're reading, that paragraph that we read, I think the most important part of that to me is having had the experience myself. Having had that spiritual awakening, which if you're new here, and I'm hoping there's a lot of new people here, the language that we use in here is different. It's really, we call it the language of the heart. But when I first got here, it was so far over my head, I didn't really understand anything. So if you're new, just, enjoy the atmosphere. The experiences that I've had, that spiritual awakening that I've had, I can't tell you the day it happened. What has happened in my life because of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and sponsorship, I have been awakened. I'm awake today. And that didn't happen overnight for me. And so when I will tell you, the experience that I feel that is the awakening for me is I feel and I see and I do things differently today. I'm not the same person. So the first practicing these principles in all our affairs is hope. And that's the first thing that I hope I give you right now is the hope, if you're new here, that you can at least identify with some of the things that I'm going to be talking about. So having had that spiritual awakening and then practicing them today, the experience that I've had is amazing. It's amazing. Helping others. When I first got sober, you had to have a year. You were supposed to have a year to sponsor other people. And you had a year when you started sharing your story. Today, if you just do the steps, you can sponsor people. I'm not going to say what I think about that because that's my opinion. But so when I started working with others, even though I was giving rides to people at the beginning and doing that, but when I was doing this work with other people, that's when I started growing. That's when I started having more of a spiritual experience than I ever had before. At the beginning of this book, it says it's an experience you don't want to miss. I have made every mistake that this book has said not to do. I have done. When it said, you know, don't speak from a spiritual hilltop, I did that. When it, you know, whatever it said to do, I've done both. So from my experience, having had this experience, I today can be effective. I can be effective and I can be understanding. When I first got sober, we had to learn something. My sponsor said, you have to learn to listen and listen to learn. And this is at the very beginning, because when I came in, you know, I was the type that went, oh, I know. I did that at work and I knew nothing. So when they left me alone, I didn't know what I was doing. And it was the same thing in here. I knew nothing when I got here. I needed a person to help me, to guide me through this. So having had that experience myself, you know, I can be effective and useful. And that's what this first paragraph is about. Because when we first get sober, I've got to remember, I've got to meet the person right where they're at. I can't expect someone to already have a spiritual awakening and they're ready to, you know, sponsor 500 people and, you know, do that. What we have to do is we have to have that experience ourselves, because that's what we pass on. Okay?
Hey, I'm Neve. I'm an alcoholic.
Neve.
Hi. My sobriety date is May 22nd, 2013. I've got a home group. It's Speaking of Steps. We meet in the south side of Richmond on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. I'd love to see you guys there. It's a pleasure to be here. I don't know why I'm here, because you've got Sammy. There's no reason for me to be here at all. But and Sammy's my sponsor. I've got a sponsor. This is my sponsor. I don't know. I'm honored to be here, but I just defer to Sammy. I could just be like, oh, yeah, just what she said. But I'll try. That's why she's going first, so that it gives me more time, I guess, to freak out and to, follow up with some scraps, but I'll tell you one thing that this paragraph makes me think of is when I hear that having had the experience yourself, I think of instead the experience that we have as alcoholics, you know, and how we can be useful to other alcoholics in a way that nobody else can. Before I got here, three different medical professionals told me I was an alcoholic, and I didn't believe any of them. You know, I identified out. I was like, listen, lady, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you don't get it. You don't know me. You don't, you know, you're some rich lady on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Like, you don't know what it's like to work in an Irish bar, to be in school, to be young, to be poor, like what, anything, you know what I mean? And so when I got here and it was somebody that knew exactly what it was like, you know, it made all the difference to me, because it's like what Sammy was saying, it's like the language of the heart. I showed up to my first meeting and the first lady I talked to asked me why I was there. And all that came out, like all I could think to say was like, oh, I blacked out at a wedding this weekend. And she goes, I blacked out at my first two weddings. You're in the right place. And I was like, what? And so I was used to these medical professionals who kind of like talked down to me. I felt like anyway, you know what I mean? Because they weren't, they were medical professionals. Like I felt like I couldn't relate to them at all. So to be able to relate to somebody that's been through this and the fact that I can do that with other people, it's the greatest gift of this program. You know, when somebody comes up to me after I share in a meeting and says that like, oh, I, you know, the first time I could admit that I was an alcoholic was after I heard your story. It's probably because it's like, I'm like, anyway, I won't get into it now. There's not enough time. But anyway, so it's just an honor. And the last sentence in this, let him know that you're available if he wishes to make a decision and tell a story, but do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else. And that's something I had a really hard time with when I first started sponsoring. Yeah, I'd been through the steps, but I had a spiritual awakening, but I wasn't like the most spiritual person ever. So when a sponsee left me, I had a really tough time with that. I was like, I wanted to know who she went to. Like, that bitch? Like, are you kidding me? Like, what does she have that I don't have? You know, like, and I really, really struggled with it. Today, thanks to, you know, time here and a better connection with God and more tolerance and acceptance and all those things and good sponsorship, I'm just psyched that they go to somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care who they go to, like, as long as they want to stay in this program and keep trying to get sober. So that's all I got for this paragraph.
Thank you both. Now we're going to move over to page 98. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on the service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn the truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence upon God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house.
Wow, that's such a powerful, powerful state, sentences. For me, whenever I sponsor someone and or helping someone, whether I'm sponsoring them or not, when I first got here, when I started sponsoring and helping other people, if I gave them money, then I owned them. You know, if I, whatever I did, I thought they should do everything that you know, that I said to do. And I was putting their reliance upon me. And that was hard for me to walk through too. And all these things that I'm telling you that I did that were not good to do to myself are my lessons. These are the lessons that I had to go through. So, you know, the job or no job, wife or no wife, you know, burn into the consciousness that we can get sober regardless of anyone. That meant so much to me because my family had disowned me. And my sponsor would quote this and say, you know, job or no job, family or no family, we can get sober. You know, so a lot of people come to me about that because they know that what I've walked through painfully without my family wanting me in their life. And my sponsor had me literally start from the very beginning relying and trusting upon God. I had to literally practice, because this is practice, we're practicing these principles. I had to practice that every single day, because when I got sober, I was in a lot of pain. It was painful. You know, I had people in here said that they loved me and they were glad I was here, but I kept saying, you just don't understand, you know. And, you know, because I was so different from y'all. You know, your family still stuck with you. But job or no job, wife or no wife, you know, I learned from the very beginning that all I do is I had to practice every night trusting God, that let God reassemble things that need to be reassembled. I had to learn how to let go of those things. Have you ever heard from people and you're new here, let go, let God? And you're like, what? What? What are you talking about? What does that mean, let go, let God? It means it's that simple, but it took me a long time, a lot of in-between stuff, a lot of step work to be able to do that, to trust and rely upon God, to clean house and trust God. Those are some of the most powerful words in the big book, is to trust God, clean house, and help others. Those six words were my goals. Those are the things that I was hoping for, that I was practicing to have in my life, to have that peace. So, it's so good to have someone come up to you and they're in a lot of pain and just say, I know exactly how you feel, and we can stay sober together. Okay.
Thanks, Sammy. Mm-hmm. So, it feels like we're on a radio show. Do you remember that, like, SNL skit with Molly Shannon and Anna Gasteyer? That's what this feels like. So, delicious dish. So, for me, I've had some experience with this whole service plane business. As, like, when I came in and I was new, my sponsor, like, put me to work right away, you know what I mean? And one of the ways she put me to work was to, like, give rides to people. And there was this girl that needed a ride, and so, she didn't have a car, lost her license, whatever, and so she needed rides. And as, like, a newcomer here who was, like, super psyched about AA, super psyched to be here, like, wanted to be of service, I said yeah to her every time she asked for a ride. And it got weird because she would get in the car on the phone. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm an Uber driver or something. And so it was just like, she wanted to go to 7-Eleven to pick up cigarettes. Like, it started to get weird and I started to get resentful, So I felt guilty, like, as a people pleaser and as, like, a newbie, and I wanted to be of service. But, like, so I was, like, really conflicted, and I went to my sponsor and I told her about what was going on. And she told me something that was so helpful to me. And I tell my girls now that she told me to tell her that I will drive you to one meeting a week, that you need to ask other girls for rides, right? You need to get other numbers. You can't just rely on me, because what happens, like, if I die? What happens if I relapse? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm your sole connection to AA, like, it's not good for you. It wasn't good for me, but it's not good for you, and that she needs to expand her network. And that's something that was, like, so helpful, because it's true. It's, like, kind, but true. And, it's something that would help her in the long run, and definitely help me put boundaries up, because when I came in here, I had no sense of boundaries or respect for myself, So that was something really important to me. And with the job or no job, wife or no wife, it's been, as a sponsor, it's been hard to see women come in here and ask me to sponsor them and to see them struggle with other things, right, that they put before their recovery, whether that be children in some cases I've seen, or cats in some cases, whatever it is, you know what I mean? And they don't think they can do this thing until the cat, gets the medical treatment it needs, stuff like that. And so it's like, when you've been around here, I've been around here for like a second, but it's like, I've seen it over and over again that I know what's gonna happen, you know what I mean? And it's like, you've gotta let them have their own experience, which is something that's been a lesson that I've learned the hard way, I guess, instead of trying to, you just want to grab by the shoulders and shake them, you know what I mean? But to have a pretty good idea of that they're headed out the door. And sometimes, people, it takes what it takes. And some people need to lose the cats before they can take this thing seriously. And the biggest thing that I can do in those cases is always be here, what I mean? Tell them, like, hey, I'm here if you ever need to talk, Like, you've got my number, I'll always answer the phone. And just leave that door open so that I'm not shaming them, so that they feel like they've got nowhere to go. That's all.
Thank you. All right, we're going to continue on page 98. Now the domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. Though his family be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstrations. Argument and fault-finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can then be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness.
I love this one. I like the principle by which I've learned a lot in my relationship. First of all, the fact that I have one is a miracle. I mean, I was the type, I was never faithful. You know, I swear I love you and then leave you the next day. You know, I was just that type of person. I just got bored and then would go somewhere else. But when I got married, and I was 4 or 5 years sober, and I didn't know how to have a relationship really with somebody. I was still young in sobriety, and my character defects, which is I love being powerful, I love being right, I love control, and that's how I went into this relationship with we're doing things my way. I mean, it was sharing was not in my vocabulary, and so I had these situations I've had to learn to practice, and thank God for good sponsorship, because I'm a runner. I run when I'm not getting my way, or if, you know, if there's an argument. But what has happened over time, because of these principles that we're talking about, that I'm starting to apply, that I've learned how to be considerate, mindful, thoughtful, you know, having responsibilities, having a partner in life. I mean, these are the things that I did not come in with. You know, character building was not my first on my list. Being comfortable was first on my list. So, you know, he's learned a lot himself. And but the whole thing of it is this is all about spiritual principles. I have a spiritual disease. So spiritual principles, which never change. Spiritual principles are always spiritual principles. They won't be anything else. And so you take someone like me who's so selfish and self-centered, and you need to understand me and what I'm doing, and then you put it with another alcoholic. I mean, it's, you know, two ticks without a dog, you know, and we're just crazy. So what I've had to learn is not to run away. That's the first thing. You don't want to run. Is you want to be able to start practicing principles. And the best principle that I've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous is keeping my mouth shut. It's the best principle that in any situation, I don't need my voice. You know, so that's what I've learned about that. I have a wonderful relationship with my husband today because both of us put God first. We both have practiced doing that, and there are no big deals in our lives. There's no such thing for us as who's got more power. So, because we put the power in the right place.
Okay. I can relate to this with my family, my mom and dad and my sister in New Jersey, who are not working any kind of spiritual program whatsoever. I just got back yesterday. I was up there since Tuesday. And even Sammy was like, Neve, that's too long. It's like, it was too long. And she jokes that I'm like Humpty Dumpty, that when I come back from New Jersey, she's got to like put me together again. They're tough guys, but it's practicing these principles. Sammy has to remind me that I struggle. I kind of revert. I don't know if you guys can relate, but it's like I'm a 12-year-old again when I'm around my family. Do you know what I mean? It's like that same dynamic comes back, and like without even a second, like something that like one of you guys would say that I would pause when I was agitated or doubtful here, like as soon as I'm back there, it's like right away I'm like pulling out Advil at the table, like I've got a headache, you know what I mean? Just sitting with them. I just, but yeah, keeping my mouth shut has been really helpful. It's easier on the phone because they can't see me roll my eyes, you know what I mean? So like when I'm with them for like 5 days or whatever, it's harder to when I'm face to face, but to not find faults, right, in what they're doing. One thing that was really helpful to me was when I first came here, my first sponsor taught me, the first prayer that she taught me was the set-aside prayer, like, please help me. And the way we would do it, we'd hold hands before we read the book, and it was, she would say, please help me set aside everything I think I know about this book, about these steps, and about you, God, so I can have a new experience with this book, these steps, and especially you. And it was my second sponsor that taught me to use that prayer, but for other things. And she taught me to specifically use it for my family. So like when I'm going up to New Jersey to pray, God, please please help me set aside everything I think I know about my family so I can have a new experience with my family and with you. And that's been so helpful because, like, you know, I go up there thinking, like, oh, my mom's going to say that stuff that she always does, you know, like, whatever. And it's like, let me not... She does. She says it. She says it every time. But let me not, like, maybe this time she won't, you know, like, but to not put her in this box that it's like, oh, this is how my mom's going to be, this is how my sister's going to be, and my dad. And even though they're often like that, but I can try, you know what I mean? I can put it in God's hands and just be open to a new experience. And another thing I pray is, please let me be the best daughter and sister that I can be. You know, and like they've got their own issues and they're not lucky enough to have a program. You know, some of them need one, but they're not, you know what I mean? They don't have one and I do. And so it takes a lot of prayer, a lot of, you know, communication with powers greater than me, and, you know, human and godly to get through it. But, you know, I don't have to drink over my family today and I can have a better relationship, if not like an awesome one. It's better than it used to be.
Thank you. And now we're going to move over to page 100. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances.
Well, this is also powerful. I think people with time will understand this. I've changed so much on my reactions to things and where I put things inside of me that I'm not quick to anger as like I used to be. So when I'm dealing with family or if I'm dealing with newcomers and all that, I have this, it's like God has opened up my heart. I don't know how else to put it, but I have this, a new attitude towards people. And, I see things differently through in people today. I remember when, I was sponsoring people young in sobriety and I was young and I'd call my sponsor, be bitching about this new girl. God, she's not doing this. And you go, Sammy, do you remember when you had 3 months? And I'm like, oh yeah, never mind. You know, because, and today things have changed. God has entered my life because of these practicing principles, you know, because we talk about these principles, but we don't really know what they are. You know, if you have a resentment with somebody, why don't you go hold hands with them during the Lord's Prayer? You know, my sponsor made me do that. And I'm like, what? I told you I just hated her. Why do I want to do that? I'm practicing something different, an opposite. Instead of hate, I'm practicing the hand of love. You know, so what has happened to me is all those things that I carried before all my life, you know, of, you know, judging and gossiping and all those things that I did so well, you know, they were on my resume, really. They were good, and they served me no purpose. But those are the things that have changed my life. In my life, I can sit back. I can actually sit back and let people be where they're at today. That is a miracle. That is what it takes, you know, is what we pass on to people, letting people be who they are. Letting them have their own experience, helping them just taking their hand, not walking behind them in front of them, literally walking hand in hand with a person because they're just like me, whether I've got 30 years or 2 days or 1 day, I'm just like you.
I want to talk about the sentence, when we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. So when I first came in here, I had, when I had 6 months, I met a boy, and he had 9 months, so, you know, he was an old-timer, and we, against sponsor advice, I started dating him, and, you know, we're not dating anymore, basically, long story short, but, so it got weird, things got weird, I don't know how much I'm allowed.
You can say whatever you want.
Okay. Sammy, give me permission to say whatever I want. So, that's recorded. So, I'm an alcoholic, right? The strongest drug I've ever taken is extra strength Tylenol. Dude's a heroin addict, and he started using again shortly after we started dating, and I had no idea because I've got zero street cred. I'm like, oh, he's tired. He's been working a lot. So it's like, I don't know. I dated him for years while he was using, and people came, yeah, yep, yep, I'm an idiot, and people came up to me, and, oh, like, my sponsor would, like, try to say something, she's like, well, you know, like, he never has any money, and, like, you know what I mean, like, so she told me, she used to say, like, oh, that's a postcard from God, you know, like, I would have postcards from God, like, it turned into full-on PowerPoints from God, you know what I mean, and I was just, like, ignoring, not paying any attention, like, friends were coming up to me, people were coming up to me and saying, like, he's doing drugs, and I was just like, what, and I didn't want to hear it, you know, God was nowhere in the equation. Like, it was all about what I wanted. And I was, like, holding on to this relationship, which was bad. You know what I mean? Like, it was bad. But first, like, whatever. It's like, I've got my issues, outside issues. We can talk later. So I'm in therapy now. It's cool. But it's like, I was, like, holding on, like, you know, like, claw marks in this relationship, not wanting to let go. Eventually, you know, after he stole, like, you know, a ton of money and goods for me, he admitted that he had, in fact, been using heroin. And so he went into, a place where you go when that happens. And I still tried to date him because I thought that was the problem. You know, the drugs were the problem. It wasn't. Anyway, long story, if you guys want to talk about it after, we can. But anyway, so I still held on to that. And it had to be, it was when I got Sammy. And Sammy was, like, the first sponsor who, I had one sponsor. She had fired me over it because I was, like, you know, so dumb. And then the second sponsor, like, opened my eyes a little bit. And then Sammy was the first one. They both were like, you need to break up with this guy. And Sammy was the first sponsor I had that was like, oh, you can do whatever you want. If you want to be in a relationship with him, be it. And it was like AA, like, when I look back on it in retrospect, because it was like the first two sponsors would have been like people trying to push me into the rooms when it's like I wasn't ready yet. You know, Sammy let me have my own experience, right? And so eventually I hit a wall with it. Thank God I hit a bottom with it. And I broke up with him and, like, had to dive into this thing. Do you know what I mean? And it was just like a newcomer. It was crazy because I had to build these relationships with women that I let go for this guy. And I basically had to start all over is really what it felt like. Mm-hmm. And I had to rely on God in a way I never had before because I was sick. You know, I was sober. Like, I had years here, but I was sick. And I had to give everything to God. And, like, before, like, with this first sponsor, I, like, didn't want to call her because I knew what she was going to say. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, so I stopped calling her. And with Sammy, if a boy texted me, I screenshotted it and sent it to Sammy. I'm like, what do I do about this? You know what I mean? Like, I was like a totally different person in this program. And through that and through therapy, what built up my own self-esteem. I built up my own, a new relationship with God. Because I wouldn't have thought that this guy was my higher power, but, you know, if you look at the evidence, you know, clearly. So it's like I had a relationship with a higher power. I had my own recovery that was super strong. I had a relationship with women. I started to build my self-esteem. And one of these dudes that texted, I sent the screenshots to Sammy, and she was like, say you'll go on a date with him. And I was like, what? And we got engaged last month. Yeah, so, yeah. And he, I literally thought Sammy hired him. I thought, because he was everything. He was like the opposite of your one dude. Do you know what I mean? He literally, it's like, what? Like, where did this guy come from? But it's like, it's what I wanted. Like, box A was like, what? You know what I mean? I wanted this loser. And it's like, once I gave it to God, it's like God put somebody in my life that was like, I can't even put it into words, you know? And I know because of this experience where it's like that I can see proof that God has me. You know what I mean? Once I put everything in his hands, he has me, and he's given me what stuff that I've never planned for myself, clearly. That, like, even if something happened with the engagement or whatever, even if, like, we broke up tomorrow, I know now that something, God's got something else planned, mm-hmm. you know? And I've got complete faith in that now, but I had to go through that pain. So I am grateful to the heroin addict.
That's all I got. That's right.
Continue on page 100. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go to their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance for sobriety would be somewhere like the Greenland ice cap, and even there an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places on the theory he would escape the alcoholic problem.
When I first got sober, my sponsor did not think it was a good idea to for me to continue to working in a restaurant for a little while. And so I didn't. I mean, I, you know, no matter what, I had to get a job, because she said, you know, I felt terrible, and she goes, good, get a terrible job, but you're gonna work. And so I had to get a terrible job, but it wasn't in the restaurant, because she just didn't think it was a good idea for me to be around alcohol. Now, I have to tell you, when I came to you people, literally, I mean this, and I didn't know it, but God had relieved me of the obsession immediately. I came in, you know, wagging my tail. I was so excited. If I had a tail, it'd be wagging now. And but... So when it says that we don't want to be afraid to go anywhere, you know, I wasn't on good spiritual grounds. And so for 2 years, I avoided that kind of business. I could go get a job somewhere else. I eventually went into that. So I don't really have much to say on this today. I can go anywhere on this earth today, and I am not affected by alcohol whatsoever, or an alcoholic. You know, when I go somewhere to a wedding or something and the wedding starts getting out of hand, I leave. I just leave. I don't have any problems with that. I don't have a problem of like, oh my God, what are they gonna think? First of all, they don't care. They're too drunk to care. But, you know, I just don't have a desire to be around that kind of behavior today whatsoever. So, but at first, I mean, if I saw someone going into the bathroom, I knew what they were doing, you know. God forbid that they were just going there. But I accused everybody of being an alcoholic. I was, when I first got back into the restaurant business, and I was, excuse me, I went in as a dishwasher. So I was up at the front, and people were drinking at the bar, and, so I looked up this one guy and I went, you don't have to live this way. The guy started screaming at me, you know, like, oh my God. You know, because I just thought, you know, I'm here to save everybody. So, like I said, I've learned a lot. But on this thing, it's just so, it's so simple for me. I don't need to be somewhere just to prove anything to anybody today, like I used to feel like I had to show that I can do it. I just don't have to do it today. And when I'm there, God's with me.
I was also a waitress for a really long time, and I had a year when I wasn't waiting tables when I came in here, and I had about a year when I needed to get a job, you know, and I, it was at the Village Cafe in Richmond, and I told my sponsor wasn't concerned, but I was concerned. Like, I hadn't held an alcoholic beverage in so long. I was afraid that, like, you know what I mean? Just, like, it would be a reaction, like I'm a robot, you know? Like, I would just start drinking it. And I said it to my sponsor, that I was worried that holding a beer in my hands, like, it would just be, like, an automatic reflex kind of thing. And she was like, did you ever drink any of your other customers' beer before this? And I was like, no. And she was like, so, like, why would you drink it now? And so I took that job when I had about a year sober. And I had waited tables all throughout my sobriety up until a couple years ago. Yeah, it wasn't a thing, you know? I mean, it got to be, I'll tell you a story. It was the Christmas party at the Village was the only time I felt squirrely. Like, I was there, everybody was drinking, and it's like, ugh. So I, like, left really quick. And but it was, like, one of these things where I was, like, kind of mad about it. I'm like, oh, man, you know what I mean? Feeling jealous. And then I go into work the next day, and I was, like, early, so I sat at the bar, and Amy, the bartender, was, like, oh, the phone rang, and she was like, oh, that was Irene, like one of the girls that works there. And she was like, I thought she was calling to thank us. I was like, what do you mean? And she said that Irene, that the night before, was so drunk and outside, and she's really tall. She was like one of those, car salesman things. She was like all over the place, and a cop came by and was going to give her a drunk in public, but like the manager talked her and talked the cop out of it. Like, we're going to get her an Uber. We're going to send her home. And so they thought that's why Irene was calling to say thank you for, like, not getting me arrested. And no, she was calling because that she wouldn't be in work the rest of the week because she woke up with a tooth missing, like one of her front teeth. And she has no memory why, right? So it's like that happened. And then, like, 5 minutes later, Paco walked in, like one of the guys that works in the back. And Amy was like, oh, Paco, I saw you making out with Christine last night, like one of the waitresses. And it's like, oh my God. And then like half an hour later, my friend Curdy comes in. She was like, I was like, oh, did you hear about last night? And she's like, no, what did I do? I can't remember anything. And I was like, oh my God. It was like God was there for me, because it's like I would have been the one waking up with a tooth missing, making out with the dishwashers in the back. Do you know what I mean? That, like, doesn't remember any of it. Like, so it was just such a blessing to remember, like, thank you, that's why I'm in AA and that I am an alcoholic. Beating around alcohol has never been a problem for me, except I worked at Purley's for a while in Richmond, and it was my first day there, and I hadn't told anybody that I was in AA, because it was, like, you know, new people, and I didn't want to say anything yet. And the bartender was training me back there, and she's like, oh, here, I made this, you should try it. And I was like, oh. And she kept making stuff. She's like, you should try it. I'm like, oh, actually, I can't, I'm an alcoholic. She goes, so what, me too? And I was like, I'm in AA. She's like, oh. She's like, you don't drink anymore. I was like, right. And so, like, the times I had to make the cocktails back there, they're like weird hipstery dumb cocktails with, like, rose water in them, like, whatever. And so it's like the customers wouldn't like them, and I'd be like, ugh. Like, I don't know what it tastes like, you know. So that's the only time it's been a problem. But I was home in Jersey again, like I told you, and my sister's husband, you know, I would think is one of us, and she doesn't want me to be up there when Scott has a reason to drink. Like, he drinks every day, but like when he has an extra special reason, you know, like his birthday or Memorial Day or, like, you know, whatever, anything, like, she doesn't want me up there. And I thought it was because she was worried about my sobriety. It's not. It's the real reason is because she doesn't, like, want anybody to witness how annoyed he is when he's drunk. And I don't think he's annoying when he's drunk. You know what I mean? I think he's fun. So, I tried to tell her, like, I would much rather Scott drink. Because when Scott's not drinking, he's a little restless, irritable, and discontent. You know what I mean? It's like, and then you're going to associate it with me. Like, oh, Neve's here. Sister-in-law's here. Like, I can't drink. You know? And I'm like, I would slip him some whiskey. You know what I mean? If it were up to me. But I was up there, and my sister gotten a promotion, and the boss gave her, like, a bottle of champagne. And she asked me if it was okay with her if she had a drink. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't care. And she was like, okay, well, I'm going to open the bottle outside because I don't want to scare the dogs. And I'm like, okay. So she goes outside, and she comes in, like, all defeated. She's like, it's really stuck. And I was like, oh, like, I'll open it. And she's like, no, that'd be weird. You probably have to call your sponsor or something. And I was like, no. It wouldn't. She's like, no, Neve, it's really stuck. You're not going to be able to open it. And I was like, here, give it to me. And it was like, and it popped. And I was like, yay. Just like handed it to her. And it's funny how, like, normal people think that we have to be around alcohol, but it's not like that at all. Like, there's no temptation for me to drink that whatsoever. And not to say that, like, the thought of drinking doesn't cross my mind, because it's like on a hot day I might think like, oh yeah, ooh, a margarita, you know what I mean? But that thought thankfully is fleeting. Just like the Christmas party, it was like for one night I was pissed, and then, you know, I have to remember that I'm not making out with Paco, and I'm grateful for that.
He's nice. All right,
continuing on page 102. Why sit with a long face in places where there is drinking, sighing about the good old days? If it is a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those there. If a business occasion, go and attend to your business enthusiastically. If you are with a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means go along. Let your friends know they are not to change their habits on your account. At a proper time and place, explain to all your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. If you do this thoroughly, few people will ask you to drink. While you were drinking, you were withdrawing from life little by little. Now you are getting back into the social life of this world. Don't start to withdraw again just because your friends drink liquor. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others, so never hesitate to go anywhere else if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed.
I have been to a lot of those places, sordid places, to help other alcoholics, to be there. I have been called to do a lot of 12-step work, and I had to meet them where they were at. And it's so funny. First of all, I've never been by myself when I've gone to these. I've always had someone with me because we don't do that by ourselves. We always go with someone else. I was taught that from day one, and in the big book it says on, you know, most of the chapters when it talks about us, it talks about we. We don't do anything alone. So going to these places to help other people, it's, you know, I'm on a mission from God. You know, I really feel the presence of God with me when I'm with somebody else. I feel that presence when I'm helping another alcoholic. Have you ever worked with someone and they leave and you just feel like a million bucks? And I can't even explain why. I just feel wonderful. I feel at peace. I feel a serenity. And that's with every time I leave working with somebody else. That's why it says it's something you don't want to miss. Because I don't care where I have to go, if the hand of AA is out there, we need to take it. And I've even had to go with like a man before. It doesn't matter. And the big book, it talks about it. Even with someone that I'm not particularly fond of, whatever, we come together in brotherly and harmonious action. And that's what this is all about. Practicing these principles in all my affairs has gotten me working in a working relationship with friends. I'm a friend today. I know how to be one. You know, it's gotten me to be a wife. I'm a good wife today because of the principles that I set. I'm a good member of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I show up. You can take my word when I say it. I'm consistent. You know, these are the things. I have integrity today. I like to think that I share hope and I have enthusiasm, because these are the things that God has put into my life. He's given me this gift, you know, to be of service to other people. You know, He also gave me the disease of alcoholism. And that's why when people say I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic, because I don't know where I would still be, a wandering Jew, you know, just out there wandering around, you know. But that is the truth, because that's what I was doing. I was just drifting from place to place, from person to person, never ever being myself. Today I'm glad of what I have and who I am. So that's a big difference from where I came from. So thank y'all for letting me share.
Thanks.
Okay. So yeah, where it says let your friends know, at a proper place and time to explain to your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. It's been important for me to tell people that I'm an alcoholic. And it was important at work to tell people. Because I needed, like, when I worked at bars, because I needed it to be a safe space. I didn't want a bad day to happen. And for, you know, I wanted, if I was sitting at the bar and I ordered a drink, for them to be like, what? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want it to be a place, where, like, that I kept separate. And so doing so has actually helped me be useful there. Like, one time, me and a coworker, Joe, we had the same side work. And it was, like, dumb side work, like, fill the peppers. And, like, the peppers were, like, 3/4 of the way filled. Like, nobody would fill them, but it's, like, I filled them or whatever because of AA. Do you know what I mean? And it's, like, I try to be of maximum service at all times, right? And Joe was sitting down, like, having a drink. And he's, like, Neve, why are you filling the peppers all the way? Like, nobody does that. And I was, like, oh, it's because I'm in AA. And he was, like, what? And I was, like, well, if I don't fill the peppers all the way, like, I'm going to go and I'm going to leave here. And I'm going to get in my head maybe that, like, oh, man, that you guys are all sitting around saying, like, God, Neve didn't fill the peppers. Like, what about a waitress? You know, and I'm like, it wouldn't cause me to drink today, but like, it might make me like unwilling to come to work tomorrow. And then, like, you know, I'm like, these things build up, and it's like, these, you know, I get these voices in my head. And he was like, oh, kind of like the voices that I have in my head every day. And I was like, oh, Joe. And so we ended up like, like, I ended up accidentally 12-stepping him because I filled the peppers all the way. Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So it's like, allowed me to be of maximum service in my life, you know? And I really love the, while you were drinking, you were withdrawing from life little by little, but now you're getting back into the social life of this world. Don't start to withdraw again because your friends drink liquor. Alcoholism, so at the end of my drinking, I was totally isolated. I, like, by my own making, like, I had so many resentments that I didn't want to go anywhere because I didn't want to run into anybody, you know what I mean? Because I hated everybody so much. And then, like, as drunk as I would be, like, as much relief that alcohol would give me at night, you know what I mean, for anxiety and stuff, towards the end of my drinking, the anxiety it brought the next morning was 10 times worse than any relief I got, because I'd wake up, you know, I'm a blackout drinker, so it stopped being cute, you know what I mean? Like, when I'd get these texts and people are mad at me, like, I don't know why, like, I made out with your boyfriend, like, you know, and like, oh, I talk to professors, I wake up, I have emails, like, thank you for your purchase, and I'm like, I don't know what happened. So it just, like, the anxiety I would get, like, that caused me to isolate, and so I was totally withdrawn. It was just me and some fat, miserable dude I was dating at the time, that it was just I dated him because he was miserable, and he hated everybody, and that's all I could handle, and that's what my world looked like. And so, because of AA, it doesn't look like that at all anymore. I've got a phone filled with numbers of people that I could call any second, and they'd answer. Before, I didn't want to look at my phone. It freaked me out. You know what I mean? If anybody called or even texted me. But now it's like, I'm happy to pick up the phone. Like, I don't care. Like, if it's a number that I don't know, you know what I mean? I answer it. I'm just happy to, and oh, to be able to, like, when I was home in New Jersey, there was a knock at the door. My sister had her dog at the vet, and I answered my sister's door, and it was this kid, Scribner, that I went to high school with that I haven't seen in, I don't know, 20 years. And like, normal me, I'd be like, oh my God, it would have ruined my day. And I was like, oh, hey, what's up? Long time no see. And I gave him a hug. And Scott, the husband, was asleep. You know, he's like, oh, where's Scott? I'm like, oh, he's asleep. So it's like, I could just, like, AA and the spiritual awakening and a relationship with God has freed me enough that I could sit on a couch with Steve Scribner. Do you know what I mean? And like that, it's just insane. Like, this cool guy that I never would have wanted to talk to and been able to talk to and without a drink, you know, and I can do that today, and I can answer the door instead of, like, having to peek through the blinds and see who's there. And that's, for me, an alcoholic like me, that's huge. And this program has just given me a life beyond my wildest dreams.
Thanks.
All right, I'm going to read one more short one on page 103.
You're not done yet.
After all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to.
A few quick words? Yeah, I'm going to share this because this just happened to me, and it just reminds me of that. A lot of y'all know my story where my family disowned me, and my brother, my oldest brother, and you know, all my family, they're all millionaires, okay? And so I hadn't talked to him for like, I don't know, it's been over 30 years since we've ever talked. And so I get this email, and my oldest brother is making his itinerary, and I'm part of it. He's going to come to Richmond from Florida, and he's flying in. He's going to rent a car and come to Sammy's, to my house. And then after that, he's going to his best friends that he went to UVA with. Then he's going to go over to the cousins, and they're go down to Norfolk, to where my sister lives down here. You're done talking to me. And so I'm thinking to myself, what? I didn't invite him to my house. You know, these people haven't talked to me. Like, what is going on? And so, you know, for like 3 days, I'm showing all my friends, look at this text. And I'm like, pissy. You know, I'm like, how dare him? And then something came over me on that Wednesday, because he was flying in on Sunday. Something came over me that I was awakened. And so I text my oldest brother immediately and said, Joe, don't stop anywhere for lunch. I'll have lunch for you, and I'm going to make a cake for your friends. Where did that come from? Why did that happen? And so my brother came over. He'd only planned on coming, because it was on the itinerary, for an hour. He stayed 4 hours. Now, this just happened 2 weeks ago. And he had the best time. I had the best time with my brother. My brother is 10 years older than me. I'm 68, he's 78. So when I was 10, he was already gone from the house, so I never really knew him. So I got to sit with my brother, and it was just amazing. After, when he left, he just said, I am so ashamed of how I've been treating you all those years. I hadn't talked to me for over 30 years. You know, I'm so ashamed of that. And I'm like, well, how did that happen? You know, and so he left, and he called me that night. He's called me almost every day since. And why I'm saying that, because the bottle was just a symbol. You know, the damage I had done ran deep. Some people can handle it and some people can't. You know, they left me, they didn't want to see their sister die, is what it was. And so I created that myself by practicing these principles, by letting it go, letting God reassemble what needs to be reassembled. I've got a member of my family back, you know, and I had nothing to do with it. Thanks for letting me share.
The hardest thing, I think, for me to understand when I came in here was that bottles were only a symbol. I thought, like, if I stopped drinking, you know, everything would get better. And luckily, I stuck around long enough for you guys to explain what alcoholism is. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, for me, I needed a drink from, like, the get-go, you know what I mean? And so it's so important for me to stay here in AA, even I haven't drank in a while. My life's gotten really good. Going to meetings is the most important thing for me, because at a meeting is where I'm reminded that I'm an alcoholic. And because on a, you know, after a while, it is cunning, baffling, powerful, and my brain will tell me that, you know, I was overreacting, you've got this, you're fine. I need to hear you guys. I need to relate to you guys. And at meetings is where I can, you know, meet newcomers that need to relate to me. And I think, like Sammy said, to be a grateful recovery. I'm so grateful that I'm an alcoholic. I'm so grateful that there's Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm grateful for you guys. That's all I got.
All right, thank you both. And we will now pass the seven tradition basket. The seven tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. And while that's going around, does anybody have any AA-related announcements?
I'm Morgan. I'm an alcoholic.
Morgan.
Hello, everybody. This home group right here, Simple Actions, is having a supper and a speaker next week, 7 days from today, in this room. The food will be at 6. Bring a dish if you wish. And then the speaker will be Steve M. from Raleigh, North Carolina. It's going to be awesome. So the speaker will be at 7. Bring a dish if you can. If not, we also have the beautiful spearmint flyers over there. So you should take them to your home group and pass them out because we will not need them. Ryan's got one up front, so you know exactly which one it is. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Morgan.
Hey, Jonathan.
You haven't got enough of me, Kay. Oh. Now, this week, to speak at my home group on Friday, came to live meeting about half an hour. So, Starbucks or Collie. Eating will start at 6:30. Bring a dish if you wish. And meetings will be starting at 8. Also, this week, we'll be having Jeremy B. coming from Hampton, or actually Richmond.
Oh, Richmond.
He's pretty badass too. So next 2 weeks, come and see us at
Thank you.
All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hands. All right. And do we have anybody in their first 30 days of sobriety so that we can welcome you?
Hey, welcome.
All right, we have literature over here on the table to your left. Please see me or home group member if you would like any of that. The books are at cost and any of the pamphlets are free. And sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I'll be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come up and talk to me. And just a reminder, smokers, please use the butt cam provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. And thank the panel again for
coming.
After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, just up Colonial. If you hit the train tracks, you've gone till far. And can someone read the last two pages on 164?
Hi, I'm Ebony. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Ebony.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Mm. All right, we'll close with the Lord's Prayer.
That was good.
Thanks for sharing. That was so good. You did such a great job. This is the hardest part we do. This is making him circle. Red Rover, Red Rover.
All right. Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.